like to convene the meeting. If I can put item one on hold. Put item two, approval of the meeting minutes for the June 21st meeting, virtual meeting. Decision, yeah.
So moved.
Is there a second to that motion?
Mr. Chair, Mark Petrus Simone, second the motion.
Is there a discussion on this motion? In the absence of a motion properly made and second, can I all in favor indicate by voice vote by Trustee Graves?
Aye.
Trustee Petrus Simone?
Aye.
Trustee Whetstone?
Abstain, I wasn't at that meeting.
Okay, Trustee Elliker?
Aye.
Trustee Sagnello is also aye. Administrative matters, put that on hold for a moment. Item four, age annuity rule of 80, early retirement. Information only, does not require the deliberation of the trustees. Unless there is a question on item four, specific question. Who wants item five, contribution withdrawals. Again, information only, does not require the deliberation or vote by the trustees. Unless there is a question on item five.
I have a question. This is Susan Weston, Jerry. I have a question on item five.
Yes.
What are people told or given when they decide to do withdrawals? Do they sign anything, any kind of acknowledgement or anything like that?
This is Leanna. Yes, we have paperwork that makes.
Could you say that again?
Leanna.
Sorry, I was on mute. Yes, there's paperwork that they fill out for us.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions on that item? Item six and item seven, I'd like to take jointly. Item six is death after retirement, information only. Robert Iderola, Etta Francis McKnight. And item seven is death of a survivor, information only. Marge Hiller. If I can call upon the trustees for a moment of silence for the repose of the souls. Thank you very much. Rest in peace. Item eight, payment of bills. What is the pleasure of the trustees? Yes.
Mr. Chair, Mark Petrus Simone, I move for the approval of the payment of bills.
So moved.
Kathy Graves, second.
Is there a second? Is there discussion on this motion? In the absence of, I'd like to call upon the trustees for their vote, voice vote. Kathy Graves, Trustee Graves?
Aye.
Trustee Petrus Simone?
Aye.
Trustee Whetstone?
Aye.
Trustee Elliker?
Aye.
And Trustee Sagnello is also an aye. If we can, is there anything under old business that the trustees would like to entertain? If not, is there anything under item 10, new business the trustees would like to have brought up? If not, I'd like to return to the agenda and go to item three, administrative matters. Cost analysis for local 3144 and local 884. David had asked that he do some analytics on that and give a brief presentation to the board. He was kind enough to do that. And I believe that's what he's going to be doing in a moment. Right, David?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Good morning, everyone. This is a follow-up to our Zoom call from last month. And as a recap, the SURF unions are in the middle of finalizing their new CBAs with the city, their new contracts with the city. A few of the unions have finalized and ratified their contracts. A few are still remaining and will do so in the following month. So I provided you with a summary of the changes to the plan provisions. And for now, I'm going to show you a cost analysis and impact to liabilities of what these new plan provisions are. So I'm going to share screen with you. please stop me if you can't share, if you can't see my screen. So down here, I'll just give you a reminder of the new plan provisions that are in effect. So right now, this is Local 3144. So this is the cost impact of their new plan provisions. For current employees, they changed the early retirement reduction factor. This was a minor change, a minor tweak from 2% to 3%. Some people get 3.5%, but that's a minor tweak. We removed, or they removed, the automatic 50% joint and survivor, and now you get an automatic life annuity with the option to have one of five different forms of annuities with an actuarially reduced benefit. Employee contributions were increased from 10% to 10.5%. And then there was updated budgeted pay, salary scale, and retroactive payments going back a few years. So again, this is the summary of the cost analysis. It's a side-by-side comparison of the main facts and figures from the 2022 valuation report shown here on the left with the changes, the new plan provisions. You can ignore the word proposed because this analysis was done right as these were being finalized. This is now the final new plan provisions. So the two, there's a bunch of numbers on the page. We don't have to go through each one, but the two main ones I want to highlight, the actuarial accrued liability. In the 2022 valuation report, it was about $520 million. With these new plan provisions, if they had gone into effect right before the July 1, 2022 valuation report, it would have increased liabilities by this much, by about $3.8 million, going up to $524 million. That's a modest increase. That's not a big increase by any means. The two main factors, the new plan provisions, which change your form of annuity and change the early retirement reduction factor, those decrease liabilities. And then what's increasing liabilities are the retroactive payments for the last few years and the increase to the budgeted pay. The other main figure is the ADEC for the year 2023-2024. That's this upcoming one. It was $26.45 million. If these provisions had gone into effect right before the 2022 valuation report, it would have gone up $170,000 to $26.6 million. So again, that's a minor increase, and we're just showing you the impact that these new plan provisions are causing. So I'll pause there for any questions, and then I'll move on to Local 884. Okay. One second to pull up the new one.
So are you saying, I'm trying to, if a person retires under this new plan, this new configuration, and they want survivorship for their spouse, they have to have a reduced benefit for themselves initially?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, and that's, I should mention, this is only for current active employees. If you are a retiree, there's no change for you whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And now this is Local 884. This is a smaller union than 3144. I mean, that one was going to be the largest increase to liabilities. So it's the same general change to benefits or to plan provisions, a smaller increase to liabilities. So it's a smaller union. And this is what we'd expect to see with all the other unions as well. This one, you see an increase to ADEC of just $60,000. But that's essentially analysis. I sent this to Jerry, and I can send this to anyone who wants it. And as the different unions are one by one finalizing and ratifying their new contracts, we're performing these analysis for the city, and then we're happy to share them with you as well. Are there any questions, or can I help clarify anything about the new plan provisions?
So in effect, these have been accepted through the collective bargaining process?
Yes, specifically Local 3144 and 884. Those have been ratified, approved. And if you're retiring today, you get the new provisions.
Okay. Well, it's your usual scholarly presentation, David.
Oh, thank you.
I appreciate it.
Of course, you're welcome.
Are there any other questions of the trustees?
I just follow up on the request or the offer of David to send the these analysis to the rest of the trustees. It'd be great for people to be able to look at them at their own leisure.
Agreed. Thank you.
Weren't they included in the pension package?
Yes, it was. Taylor emailed it, I believe, already. But if anyone needs it, we can send
it. My fault.
Any other questions on item three? If not, I'd like to return to the agenda to item one, which is the investment report.
Morning. Thank you, Jerry. Leanna or Taylor, if you could pull up the investment review. So this report is the fiscal year end. It's through 6/30. There's some good numbers, so that's a good thing, unlike last year. So off to a good start. While we wait, I just want to remind everybody. So these returns are not including illiquid alternatives, which, you know, we'll probably get pricing on those. I would say by September, we should have a more accurate figure, but, you know, the majority of these should be higher numbers, not lower. So this should be a base case here. And the numbers are pretty good. I don't know if you want to make that a little bigger. Possible. The screen. Can everybody see that okay?
Yes. So
you go down to page 5, I believe. Right there. Okay. So you can see along the top line, the fund is about just shy of $206 million. Strong month of June. 3 month quarterly numbers are strong. 6 months are strong. You can see the fiscal year to date is about just under 10.4%. So you can see that's well over our assumed rate. So that's good. And then you extrapolate that out to 3 years, we're still beating our bogey at we're compounding out at 8.18% per year, compounded annually for 3 years. So that's including the abysmal year we had last year. So the strong returns we've had in the first 6 months of this year have been very good and attributed majority of the returns to the fiscal year numbers. I won't spend a lot of time going through these numbers unless we have questions. Again, this is this is base case. Again, as we ratchet up, there's about 20 to 30% of the portfolio that should be adjusted. We anticipate them to be adjusted upwards a bit, and we should have those numbers by, I would say, the end of September. So we'll revise this report then just to show you. But you can see strong performance in, it's interesting, and I'll talk a little bit about the capital markets and then kind of what we see moving forward for the second half of this year and then into 2024. But what's interesting is the most of the performance that we talked about in the last few months that we've spoken, the majority of the returns are coming from the large cap tech. There's about the top 10 tech companies attributed to about 60 to 70% of the returns of the S&P. You can see growth outperformed value handily. You can see the large cap growth up 18.55 for fiscal year to date, up 21% on large cap growth equities. It's not really what we anticipated. One thing, we were growth heavy going into end of 21. We adjusted in 22 to look more towards the dividend paying value oriented stocks. And that actually worked against us the second half of this or the first half of this year or the second half of the fiscal year. But you can see the large cap value fiscal year is up 13. Again, growth is 18, fiscal year is 13. But really where you see it is year to date. This 6 months, the returns are very, very skewed, growth versus value. I'll talk a bit about that and what we see, the bifurcation in the equity markets. And really what we want to see moving forward is participation from the laggards for a truly healthy market. We want to see all sectors participating, not just a few select sectors. So we'll talk a bit about that moving forward. Mid-cap, we're underweight mid-cap equity. Where we've gotten performance over the past was large cap and small cap, large cap growth. And small cap, you can see our small cap equity portfolio is up just under 19%. That's some really good numbers. Our manager is thankful. We're thankful for that manager. You can see they've outperformed by 700 basis points. They're up almost 19% and their benchmark's up 12%. So you can see really, really strong numbers from our active manager there. Thorne Thaler's done a great job. They've continued to do well. They did well when things were good, and they've also protected us when things did not go so well last year. So really a superlative manager. Just want to note that we are in the beginning process of looking for an active mid-cap manager. You can see we have the Vanguard Index fund there, basically pacing. We are underweight mid-cap, and we'll talk about the investment policy momentarily, just review that. But we're looking to maybe increase our mid-cap exposure in the near future. So that's something on the horizon. If you go to the next page, please. So international equity, also done a great job, WCM, in slight outperformance of their benchmark on the fiscal year to date. Year to date, they've done well. They outperformed by 300 basis points, 1 year. And then since inception, they're really, really doing a good job. So WCM, we brought them in a handful of months ago. They were, they did very, very well up through 21, 22. They struggled a bit. We called them in, and you can see their strategy has held up and done well, again, through the return of the equity markets. Another notable mention is Dolan McNeary. We talked a lot about Fed action and Fed activity and the inverse relationship to rate hikes and bond values. You can see our bond manager, our core bond manager, is really done a good job of protecting. You can see the aggregate bond index was down fiscal year a little less than 1%, and our manager was up 4%. So a good job there of protecting money in our fixed income portfolio, and that extrapolates out into the 1 year and then the 3 year rolling period as well. So Dolan McNeary did a really nice job. A fairly new manager for us was the international bond manager, LM Capital. They're just getting up and running, so not much to talk about there. And also you can see Federated, that was our most recent hire, Federated core bond. You can see, I'm not sure why we have an international bond. That's just a movement of we need to change. You can see it's benched to the aggregate bond. Again, just started with $10 million. So we'll get them up and running soon. We'll see more performance.
Derek, can I ask you a question?
Absolutely, Mark.
On the hedge fund part of the portfolio.
Yes.
Alkian Growth.
Yep.
If you go to their third year, it's at a minus 936.
Right.
I remember them. They came out of the gates really, really well. And then they had about a year ago, they slid off the table. Their earnings really were negatively affected. Right. That was so bad that influenced that third year number.
Right. So what I need to get, this is just incorporative of the Raymond James report. If you look at the total investment in SURF, which I could forward to you and all the trustees, their return since inception, since they've been hired, is still very, very strong. So they're still way up money for you. So you made money. It's just, yeah. So that 3 year period did get reduced by a considerable portion. Yeah.
Okay.
But since you've hired them, they are still up money for you. And you can see they're strong returns. You know, markets like these are where they really shine. You know, just to remind everybody, Alkian is very much a technology focused, very heavy in the AI space. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
We believe in their investment thesis, and they utilize leverage as well. So we think that, you know, where they are in the equity markets, the companies that they're buying are sound and are going to be, you know, revolutionary game changers for their process. So, you know, we still believe in them. We had them on watch. You can see they've come back strong, especially the last 6 months and year to date. You know, that's the 6 months. And, you know, they're starting to get their traction again. They remain on watch. They're not off watch yet, but we will certainly, you know, keep you abreast of their, I think they were in, we brought Alex in, I think maybe 3 months ago. Does that sound right? I mean, he did come in and represent. We can certainly have him come back if you'd request. But yeah, any other questions on that? Again, the next few pages, there's not much to see here because they're illiquid and nothing's been priced in. So if you want to scroll down, I just want to talk a bit about the investment policy. So if you could go to, I think, page 9. Maybe one more down, 10. Okay. So this is, you know, one of the things that we constantly look at, especially at fiscal year end, is, you know, where we stand in relation to the investment policy statement. So you can see, you know, current allocations, target allocations, and then the ranges. So like I mentioned earlier, we're slight underweight mid cap. You can see target in the range is 5 to 10. We're at like 4.4. So we are going to look to increase mid cap. And again, that was done tactically because small cap valuations were in a better position. And you can see our small cap manager, Fulanthero, has done well. But you can see we're overweight small cap and we're underweight mid cap. So we're going to, in the interim, probably shift some of that money from small to mid just to balance out. So that will be corrective there. Obviously, large cap, we're okay. International and fixed income, we're okay. International equity and fixed income, okay. International fixed income, we are a little light. But again, that's intentional for right now. Don't see a need to tweak. We're at 4.94. Our target's 5. So, you know, we're not really out of line by much. And then the hedge fund, one of the things we talk about is actually the Alcyon portfolio. That is not real. We have it classified as a hedge fund because it's an illiquid equity portfolio, but we have it benched against the MSCI World Index, which is a stock index. So in theory, we should actually have that part of our international equity portfolio, which would make us more in line with hedge funds, because it's not really a hedge fund. Hedge funds are typically long short funds that are there to hedge against volatility in the markets. And Alcyon is not a typical hedge fund. So we do repurpose that. Even though it's under the hedge fund category, we repurpose that into international equity, which would put that in line. So again, the minor tweaks would be shave a little bit of the small cap, add it to the mid cap just to be in line while we conduct the mid cap equity manager search, just to kind of look at some potential opportunities there. But all in all, we're for the most part in line with our investment policy. You know, we're close to our targets on most of our allocations. Some of the things that we're underweight or overweight are tactical changes. So with that being said, are there any questions or comments before I move on? Okay, if you could move to the market talk, please. Thank you. Okay, so one of the things I want to talk about is, you know, we've been talking basically for the past 6 months about the bifurcation in the equity markets, and you can see where the performance is coming from. And, you know, what we're watching now is the expansion of equities. You know, initially it was just the IT, the IT and the communication services were the two sectors that were doing well, and everything else was pretty much flat to negative. But you can see that that has now increased into other sectors, consumer discretionary, industrials are catching up a bit, materials a little bit, even real estate. Real estate was negative. And what was more negative is now less negative. So we really need to see energy and utilities, but a lot of that has to do with inflation. So if inflation does continue to diminish a bit, we'll start to see energy and utilities catch up. A lot of those sectors are pegged to inflation. So what we're starting to see now is some expansion of sectors catching up in the equity market. So that's good. Those are signs of a healthy equity market. We are a little sanguine on the markets in the second half of the year. The inflation readings are coming in a little better than expected. So that's giving the Fed a little bit more of a dovish stance. We basically are pricing at a rate hike in July. But we think that that may be the final rate hike. So if the Fed does pause, I think that's what the market is taking into account, and especially the large cap tech names. You know, when rates are going up, tech stocks are considered the longest duration assets, and that's why they got killed last year. So if you remember in 2022, technology and growth oriented stocks are the biggest laggards, and now with the more dovish Fed sentiment, Those sectors have come ripping back. So everything is still very data dependent on the Fed, but we're keeping a close eye on it. We anticipate a choppier second half of the year, you know, finishing the equities here plus or minus 4% from where we are. We don't anticipate much of a dismal effect, but now the discussion is more about recession and is the recession going to happen? Is it going to be a soft landing or a hard landing? You know, with, and I'll talk a bit about it. I have another slide I want to show you, but we're looking at when is the recession going to hit? Are we going to, or if there is a recession, when is it going to hit? Is it going to be second half of this year or is it going to be in 2024? But we're keeping an eye on that. If you go down to the next page, please. One more page. So this just shows the job openings. I believe it could go up a little bit, just so I guess you can see the heading. Okay, so this is a macro. Yeah, so solid jobs report. So we're getting solid jobs reports. You can see 209 jobs were added in the month of June. So wage growth is still there. It's you know, keeping a sound consumer. So, you know, as long as the households are you know, able to afford inflationary items, that's good for the economy. So again, a 25 basis point rate hike in July at the end of this month is pretty much priced into the market, but we think it would be dovish from there. If you go to the next page, please.
Derek.
Yes.
I just have a question.
Yes.
When they indicate jobs are up 209,000 for the month,
yeah.
Is there any delineation or breakdown as to are those marginal jobs, substantial jobs, part-time? Is there any breakdown that indicates what the makeup is of that employment?
Yes, there are. So, I mean, we look at the total labor force. And again, there are different jobs numbers, you know, and this is the overall jobs. A lot of these can be, to your point, Jerry, summer jobs, part-time jobs. So that is included in these numbers. Those jobs are included. But if you strip that out, which I don't have this, I actually have it on another slide I could share with you. I believe I do have the other jobs numbers that can be stripped out to part-time and, you know, transient jobs. But that is inclusive in these numbers.
Okay, you don't have to do that now. I'm just curious as to if there was a delineation that broke that down.
Yeah, there are. There are several different job report numbers that you could look at.
Okay.
Okay, next page. So again, so this is looking at core inflation. So this is really what the glide path for the Fed is, you know, where we anticipate the Fed action. And, you know, you can see core CPI is heading in the right direction. So that the Fed action is being beneficial to the core CPI. It is coming down. And that's the most important thing. The Fed is targeting a 2% inflation, maybe 2 to 2.5% inflation. The latest read on inflationary numbers came in line with what the Fed is anticipating. But again, one quarterly reading of inflation is by no means a trend. But if the trend continues through the Fed action, that looks like we might be doing okay with inflation and choking off inflation rates. So again, we're on the right path. The glide path is you know, heading in the right direction. You know, we are cautiously optimistic that, you know, one more rate hike might actually continue the glide path down. And that's basically what the Fed is looking for. Next page, please. We're in the midst of earnings seasons with banks. And I'll talk a bit about that. I want to reserve those comments for, I think, the next page. I have a slide that shows the yield curve. If we could show that. I'm not sure if it's this slide. Next slide, please. This just shows that we are in a breakout in the S&P 500, like we talked about. Again, performance has been, you know, coming from a small selection of stocks, but it is starting to see some expansion on the equity earnings. But what is good now is what was once a ceiling of the green dotted line on the top. That was what we call a ceiling or resistance level. You can see the equity market has broken through that and has successfully closed a couple times above that. So what was once a ceiling looks to be now a floor. So we do think the lows were put in back in October. And, you know, I think we're in a much better position in the equity portion of the portfolio. However, you know, we think there's going to be some reversion to the mean in a bit here in the second half of the year. Next page. You can go to the next page. It just talks about the, you know, the improvement in equity markets. So the U.S. dollar, so one of the things we're looking at is the dollar has been very, very strong against a basket of world reserve currencies, which is typically not good for emerging market equities and international stocks. But that seems to be rolling off, and the dollar seems to be softening a bit, which is good for international equities, namely emerging market equities, which we don't really have a lot of exposure to. We did in the past, but it's something that we are keeping an eye on. You know, we at some point soon might be looking for emerging market equity manager. But as for right now, we're happy with where we are. Moving on. I think this might be the last page. So energy, we just talked about crude oil and, you know, energy and inflation. But actually, can I share my screen, Leanna, just because there's a couple slides I wanted to show if I can.
Yes, you should have the option. It says share screen in green.
I don't want to bore anybody with this, but I just want to rip through a couple things quickly about what we see moving forward. Can everybody see that? Okay, so this is just our forward-looking outlook. So it's our quarter end, second quarter, and then second half of the year into 2024. I just want to see, just there's a myriad of scenarios that we're looking at, whether it's going to be a mild recession, no recession, but basically year-end prices is we're looking at, you know, 46 to 4,900 on the S&P, which is, you know, like I said, plus or minus 4% from where we are, but we do expect a choppy road. Again, I already talked about outlook of large cap tech. That's, you know, we talked about that. Let me see page five. So, you know, looking at too early for the small caps, but excuse me, we have the equity manager, the small cap equity manager that's done a good job of protecting us. Bear market lows are in, we believe. Inflation break evens. So, you know, basically we talked about inflationary pressures. So this is what I wanted to show you. So this just shows that in history, the latest quote unquote soft landings. We've only had two soft landings from rate hikes, Fed action rate hikes in recent history. So you can see most of the green boxes, these are recessionary from, you know, rate hikes. The two red boxes are the two times in the past that we didn't have a recession. So odds are against us that we're not going to have a recession. So we think, you know, statistically there will be a recession, especially with strong rate hikes that we've had. I mean, you can see we went from basically zero to over five in a very short period of time. This change, this steepness of this change is pretty significant. So it's just a matter of how hard or soft will the recession be and when will it hit? And odds are looking more towards 2024. So this, Jerry, I think was so the job openings per, but so this is not this. This is just part of the labor market. I thought I had a chart that showed the other unemployment. They call it the U6. There's the U3, the U6 numbers. I thought that might have been it, but we don't have that here. So just shows some weakness in new orders, ballooning debt. So this is all the stuff that's kind of headwinds to the economy, not necessarily the financial markets, but just the economy. So you can see the credit card debt is on the rise and just shy of $1 trillion. So the consumer is leveraged. Rates are higher. Manufacturing, new orders on manufacturing are soft. I mean, you can see the weakness in the new orders. That's the red line here. You like to see the PMI right around 50. 50 is the norm. And when it dips below 50, you know, that's, you know, a negative factor here. So you can see new orders for manufacturing are down. So you can see that they're starting to see a little bit of a rollover in manufacturing. Debt is at a high. So this is where we look at the, you know, price action to the end of 2023. Base case is 44.50. Right now we're at 45.85. That's my chicken scrabble. Writing that in there. But we're 45.85 currently on the S&P, a little higher than our base case. Not overly bullish, but I think we're probably right around where we should end the year. Might be some volatility there, so some pullbacks, looking at 2024. So you look at just the normalized 2024. So what we anticipate for 2024 is 47.78 on the S&P 500. That would be normalized value. So, you know, if we normalize value, if, and again, this is post post-inflation, we, you know, we anticipate a glide path to 47, 4,800. Not an overwhelmingly exciting year next year in equities. We don't anticipate, but from a valuation standpoint, we're a little extended, a little over fair value. So there's really not a lot of bright spots in the equity markets for next year, especially if we do get into a mild recession, which odds are it looks like it will be mild unless something, you know, changes drastically. But again, you can see this is the Fed. If Fed glide path is to, you know, 5.4, and then ultimately halt rate hikes from there. And then a few more slides I'd like to show, and then I'll call it a day. This is the inverted yield curve. So the reason why I show the inverted yield curve, so typically a yield curve is a curve that it curves from the low end of the range to upward. And you can see this is inverted. So these inverted yield curves typically are predictive of recessions. Almost always when you have an inverted yield curve in the bond market, do you see a recession? And you also, this is really an issue if the yield curve does. So this is very beneficial for financial institutions because you have to say they're getting more money on the short end of the curve and they're lending money out and they're paying less than they're making on the short end of the curve. So financials typically do very well when there's an inverted yield curve. So should there be a flattening of this yield curve, which tends to happen after, you know, after we're headed towards recession, you know, you'll start to see a squeeze in banks and financial institutions. But, you know, this is the 10-year, two-year spread, and it's not it's pretty indicative of a recession. And that's basically it. This just shows market sell-off statistics. And then, you know, big picture. So I talk about a pretty much of a malaise next year in the equity markets. But one of the things that we like to look at is just secular, long-term trends. This slide will clear. So this is basically long-term trends in the equity markets. You know, this is the S&P 500 from 1929. And you can see the secular bull and bear markets. When we say secular, those are long-term trends. And even though, you know, we went through some corrective actions in, you know, 2022, you can see that corrective action here. We're still in a secular bull market in the equities for a long term. So, you know, this kind of just keeps your eye on the prize a bit. So even though we look at some potential bumps in the road short term, end of 2023, you know, a bit of a malaise in 24, long term, we still need to have some good equity exposure because, you know, the returns do ultimately factor in long term, and the equity markets do create wealth over a long term period of time. So, you know, you just have to stay the course, you know, make some tactical changes along the way, but ultimately, you know, look forward. And this is a good visual depiction of kind of consolidation and expansion in the equity markets. And we're still expansionary in equity. We have a lot of bright spots in technology and growth in you know, the U.S. consumer. So ultimately, we think we're in good shape long term. With that said, I don't have any other further comments unless there are questions or concerns. Okay. Thank you.
Very detailed, Derek. Thank you. Any further questions? Is there a motion to adjourn?
This is Kathy. So moved.
Second to that motion.
Mark Petrosmoan, second that motion.
I'd like to call upon the trustees for their voice vote. Trustee Graves?
Aye.
Trustee Petrosmoan?
Aye.
Trustee Elliker?
Aye.
Trustee Gormany? Is he there?
Aye.
Trustee Sagnell is aye. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time and energy.
Thanks, everybody.
Aye. See you next month.